Matthew chapter 9 and from verse 18 to verse 22. Matthew 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme this morning is rich encouragements for all kinds of sinners. Rich encouragements to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Encouragements for all kinds of sinners. It was while the Lord Jesus was speaking and defending his disciples concerning the fact that they did not fast, that the Lord Jesus is approached firstly by a synagogue elder. The other Gospels tell us that his name was Jairus. And having instantly arisen and gone with him, the Lord Jesus is secretly sought by this woman with the issue of blood. And we have seen, as we have studied this Gospel of Matthew, that the miracles of the Lord Jesus were meant to teach that as physical affliction and death are the effects of sin, likewise his healing from illness and on occasions his raising of the dead were meant to display his power as the Saviour of sinners, that what he performed in the physical realm with reference to the effects of sin in this world was meant to demonstrate his power to deliver from sin itself and all its consequences. Let us learn from these verses. Firstly, the mark of guilt is upon us all. The mark of guilt is upon us all. Illness and death are with us on account of sin. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The reason we are all mortal, the reason that none of us shall continue indefinitely in this world, is because we are sinners. That is not to say that those who sin most live shortest. That is clearly not invariably the case at all. But it is true that the reason we are mortal and liable to illness and ultimately to death, which is simply illness taken to its full course, is because of sin. And here we see that there are no exceptions. We have this forlorn woman, afflicted so many years, no doubt one who shunned the limelight utterly and suffered much embarrassment and heartache for those 12 years. And then we have Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, a prominent figure and a family man, whose daughter had lived as long as this woman had been afflicted, and whose daughter is now dead. The rich and the poor meet together. There are miseries of this life that no amount of riches and power and popularity can forestall or evade. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And whether we are run-of-the-mill, ordinary people, or among the mighty and noble of this world, yet it cannot be evaded. Man is born for trouble, and we fly hence, and our years are as a tale that is told. Sickness and death are a universal reality, and the reason is because sin and guilt before God are a universal reality. Whether men face up to that or not, there is none righteous, no, not one. Every mouth is stopped, and all the world guilty before God. And the miseries of this life and death itself are, unless a sinner is saved by Christ, they are the forerunners of the pains of hell forever. Every illness, every sniffle, every sickness tells us that we deserve the wrath of God forever. And there are no exceptions amongst men. But then, secondly, Christ welcomes all kinds of sinners, and at all times. Christ in this world welcomes all kinds of sinners, and at all times. Look at verse 19. When this man came to him, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind and touched the hem of his garment. Christ never turned any away. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He healed all who came to him. And in Mark chapter 3 and verse 20, the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. The Lord Jesus Christ healed all who came to him for healing, not in order to teach us that freedom from illness and suffering are the norm for the people of God. They're not. Christians suffer, Christians get ill, Christians die, the same as others do. But during his earthly ministry, those who came to him for deliverance were all delivered. And this is to teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ never casts out those who come to him believing upon him. And so here one comes as he speaks, and another comes, as it were, secretly as he goes to Jairus' daughter. Yet he receives them and he heals them. How certain it is then that Christ, who is now at the right hand of God, is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him. This is telling us that just as those who are afflicted, those who are sick, those who were suffering the miseries of this life in great measure, when they came to him, he delivered them. This is telling us that Christ, who is now at the right hand of God, that he receives sinners who come to the Father by him. That no sinner who comes to God through Christ will be sent empty away. That he is able to save to the uttermost, to the end, all that come to God by him. And that sinners are to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who welcomes and receives sinners who draw near to God through him, whoever they are, and from whatever state, he will receive and cleanse sinners who draw near to him. And he receives sinners who come believing. He delights to receive such sinners. This woman, who is the main focus of our attention this morning, she said within herself, verse 21, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." And the Lord Jesus did make her whole. He receives sinners who come believing upon his name. And he receives believing sinners with their, who come with their hidden sins. This woman's affliction was concealed and private, but it was known to Christ and it was healed by him. This tells us about the way that Christ receives sinners who come with hidden sins. He knows all about them. He knows all our sins, all those sins that we would be ashamed if another human being knew of. He knows them, all of them, those sins that you wouldn't disclose to anyone else. He knows them all. None of them are concealed from the eyes of him with whom we have to do, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose eyes are as a flame of fire. He sees and he knows those sins of youth, long buried in your forgetfulness. He knows them, those sins that you now are so ashamed of and would dread anyone knowing. He knows them. But yet, here we are taught surely what to do with our hidden sins. We must come to the Lord Jesus Christ with all our sins and confess our sins and seek forgiveness in Christ Jesus. He knows them, but he is also able to save from them. The one who knows all our iniquities is the one who can deliver. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And sinners who come to him with their sins, even with their hidden sins, and seek forgiveness through Christ Jesus, all their guilt will be taken away as far as the east is from the west. And then notice he receives sinners who are impure even amongst men. He receives sinners who are impure even amongst men. According to the ceremonial law, this woman with the issue of blood was ceremonially unclean and made unclean all those whom she touched. But she could not defile the Lord Jesus Christ by touching him. But he could make her whole. So it is that sinners, even those sinners who have influenced others badly in the past, even such sinners must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, "I'm so sinful. How can I come to him?" Well, because he tells you to come. That's why. You are sinful. You are filthy in the sight of God. But he tells you to come. And you must do as he says. You say, "But I'm sinful. How can I approach this holy and righteous Savior?" Because he tells you to. You cannot defile him, but he can make you whole. and he receives sinners who have despaired of all else. He receives sinners who come having despaired of all else. Mark and Luke tell us that this woman had spent all that she had on physicians, but was no better, only worse. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 43, we read of her, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Luke, the physician, the doctor, he says, neither could be healed of any. And we are told in Mark that she got worse, not better. And she'd spent all that she had. She had nothing left with which to try to secure help from men. And she only got worse. So it is with the soul and deliverance from sin and guilt. Sin by the commandment became exceeding sinful. The Apostle Paul, before he was apprehended of Christ, before he became a Christian, as a Pharisee trying to earn his way into the favor of God, the more he strove, the more he knew the law of God, the more it stirred his sinful heart, so that sin by the commandment became exceeding sinful. The more we know God forbids something, the more attractive it becomes to us. That's because of our depravity of heart. That's because we're sinners. There are things that are of no great interest to us, but once we know that they're sinful, we desire them. That's because our hearts are at enmity with God. And the Apostle Paul, as a Pharisee, the more he strove, the more his sinful nature was stirred up by the law of God. The law itself was good and holy, but his unholy nature desired what the law forbade. And that's what we're all like by nature. And this woman had sought deliverance and had come to an end. And we must come to an end of ourselves. So long as you think you have anything with which to recommend yourself to God, there's no hope for you. No one ever went to heaven who didn't learn in this world that they deserve to go to hell. If you don't think you deserve to go to hell, you're not a Christian. And if you think there's anything that you can perform, any work or any accumulation of works that can deliver you from the condemnation of God, you're not a Christian. This woman had nothing left to try, and she despaired except in Christ. That was her only hope. If I can but touch his garment, the hem of his garment. Well, is it so with you? Have you despaired? Despaired of making yourself accepted with God? Despaired of anyone else, any church, or any church officers, or any organization? being able to make you acceptable to God and take away your guilt. And if you've seen that your only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why in Christ? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He was God, and he didn't stop being God, but he became a man. And he kept the law of God, which we have so hopelessly, shamefully broken so much. He kept it. He never sinned. And yet he bore the guilt of sin, the punishment of sin, the wrath of God upon sin on the cross of Calvary. He is the substitute of sinners. He took the place of sinners. He was a divine person who suffered in his human nature. But because a divine person, his sufferings are of infinite value. And because he was a man, he acted as the substitute of men. And none perish who trust in him alone. Despair of yourself. Say in your heart, there is no hope except in Christ. Because there is no hope except in Christ. And if you are not by the grace of God brought to see that in this world, you will know it to be true forever in the world to come. As you forever endure the wrath of God, you will know that all your schemes for saving yourself were worthless. Your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with hell shall be made of none effect. All that wishful thinking, all of that self-delusion will be seen for what it is. You must then despair of all a ground of acceptance before God except Christ, counting all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Thirdly, the wonderful reception of sinners by Christ. The wonderful reception of sinners by Christ. Verse 22, and Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You remember that we mentioned this verse, and Christ calling this woman, Daughter, be of good comfort. When we were looking at verse 2, when Jesus said to the man sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm grateful to one of the brethren for pointing out in discussion that this was further testimony of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was God. That in calling the man son and this woman daughter, there was the fulfillment of 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Adoption into the family of God is a marvelous blessing of all who believe upon the Saviour, Jesus Christ. It is spoken of in John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That word power, as the margin tells us, is the word that means right or privilege. It's a word meaning the authority. And it's speaking of the fact that those who believe upon the Savior, having been renewed by the Spirit and made willing by his power to believe on him, they enter into the rights and the privileges of the children of God. And so the Lord Jesus says, daughter, be of good comfort. As with the man sick of the palsy, be of good cheer, be of good comfort. Christ dispenses comfort freely to believing sinners who come to him. And he says, thy faith had made thee whole. He sees the faith of trembling, weary sinners, even when as yet it is not visible in its effects to men. He distinguishes in the crowd, and he sees individual faith. Of course he sees it. It is his gift. It is God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who renews the heart of a sinner so that they are willing to believe. But he recognizes this woman's faith, even though as yet concealed. He recognizes individuals who believe on his name, and they are individually received by him. This is an individual matter. We can't get into the kingdom of God in some sort of bulk ticket, as it were. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are told to believe on his name so that you will be forgiven and accepted of God. But don't you see the encouragements here? The encouragements, Christ's reception. This woman had such confidence in the power of Christ that the touch of the hem of his garment would be sufficient. See then how able he is to take away sin and come to him, as he is freely offered in the gospel. But then notice in verse 22, we're told at the end, and the woman was made whole from that hour. From that hour. Immediately. There is no delay between faith in Christ and justification. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is real guilt and real forgiveness for those who believe upon the Savior. None are forgiven prior to being brought into union with Christ. The elect of God, prior to their conversion, are children of wrath, even as others. But when by God's grace they trust in Christ, they are immediately forgiven and accepted. See the glorious welcome Christ gives to believing sinners. How it ought to encourage you to believe on his name, even the most wretched of sinners are received by him. Do you not see then that you must come to him and believe upon him? And then finally, Christ would have his grace spoken of. Christ would have his grace spoken of. Verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. She came secretly, but he turned himself about, and he saw her, and he said, and this shows us that the Lord requires his people to speak of him. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let them say so. But you say, I do trust him. I've been born of the Spirit and brought to faith in him. But you see, I'm reserved by disposition. Don't you think this woman was reserved? If she wasn't by natural temperament, surely she had become so by the effect of 12 years of wretchedness. Speak of him and speak well of him. Come and I will tell what he hath done for my soul. Do not delay to seek a tongue like the pen of a ready writer to speak those things which concern the King. He is fairer than the children of men. Don't we know that to be so if we're Christians? And shall we not speak of him? Shall we not utter a word on the side of Christ and his truth in this fallen, miserable, darkened world? Is he not the one whom our soul loveth? And shall we keep it a secret when we can talk about so many other things that at the end of the day are worthless to us and to those who hear? And will we not have compassion upon our fellow sinners in this world? Speak of him. Keep not silence. We do not well. This is a day of glad tidings, and we hold our peace. Let it not be so.